So Kevin has served in Brazil and in Jamaica with Mennonite Central Committee, done that. He lives in Lititz, Pennsylvania, so that's Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, where MDS is headquartered, and I think the last 12 years you've been Executive Director of Mennonite Disaster Service. So Kevin, come on up and share with us. I think you'll enjoy and had a good time visiting with Kevin last evening. So give him your ears and your hearts.
Good morning. Good morning. That's better. Wow. Great to be here with you, and Luann and worship team, thank you so much for the songs that were picked out, ministering together. Wow. Folks, it never ceases to amaze me. As the body of Christ, we need each other more than ever these days. Amen? When a small finger hurts, there's nothing else, but you feel that finger. When you stubbed your toe, you don't think about your hearing or your hair. You're thinking about the pain of your toe. So when we hurt, O'Connor, or when we rejoice, someone gets a helicopter license, or when we're responding to the water needs in Sierra, we ache, we long for, we want to help. That truly is the body of Christ happening here on earth, not waiting until heaven, but it's happening here on earth. And I rejoice with you and thank you so much for your ministry to the community. And as Pastor Phil says, it is my hope that we can encourage one another, spur each other on to love and good deeds. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. I'll be reading from verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It's an oft-repeated or read scripture verse, those two verses, and I'll read those again from the NIV version. Paul says to the Roman, he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, actually I don't think it's NIV, but follow along. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. What is good and acceptable and perfect. Well, this morning I have two instruments here in my hand. Anybody know what these are? What's this here? Absolutely. Young fellow here, hope your eyesight's this good. You're a Kipfer, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's the temperature?
About 80.
It is about 80. It feels a little warm. I may have to take my jacket off. This is a thermometer. And the way it works is it has mercury inside, I think now that more modern days it's a form of alcohol. It's a little safer because of the mercury concerns. This here is an instrument. It reports accurately and honestly what's happening around it. And that's all it does. It just sits there and describes the temperature. However, this here is what? I fortunately could bring it this morning. Sometimes I can't take it through airports and so on, through airport security. So I can, driving up here from Lancaster, I could bring it along with me. This is a thermostat. This thermostat here is a bit more complicated. It has an automatic control device actuated by temperature, and it's designed to be responsive to temperature. It is like a thermometer, but it has a very essential additional factor built into this. The thermometer, it has the element of control. And so we can actually do something with it, and it can send signals. The thermometer reflects what's going around it. And, of course, this here has the capacity to change the environment. Modern thermostats, for example, they're connected to the heat pump. Anybody that works with heat and air here today? Well, you get the point. But it's connected through the walls, out to the heat pump. So this morning when Pastor Phil came in this morning, it was a little chilly. What did he do? He turned the switch up and the heat started coming on. So when the temperature reaches an abnormal condition, of course, the thermostat calls for drastic measure. Well, this morning, I believe these two instruments here can change our thought and attention. We go back to the creation account in Genesis, where God created man and woman, a creature into whom God breathed life into that new creature. And that man, that woman became a living soul. God breathed into the body, the human body, an element of control. I believe this morning we as humans are thermostats, not merely thermometers. We have an imagination. We can dream dreams. We can make plans to go to Sierra Leone or run 5Ks, or we can do visionary things. We can transform the environment around us. I believe we are placed where God intends us to be, thermostats, not thermometers. We have to admit, though, we have limitations. We can't change the whole world, but where we are, we can change the environment around us. I'm going to put this here so I don't step on it or drop it. Recently, I read from a columnist in the New York Times, David Brooks, wrote, he said, "We are living in an age of anxiety. What do we do with it?" And I remember President FDR once said, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." We're living in an age of anxiety and fear. And so as thermostats, we can say, "Wow, this is scary. Man, that's incredible." Or, "Oh my, look at the fires that just happened down in Kansas. The worst fires that destroyed many, many acres of ranch land and farms and fields." Or, "Oh my, look at the famine in South Sudan and Nigeria, or the floods in California." Fear and anxiety can just freeze us. But I believe God is calling us to be thermostats, to be change agents. Yes, we are living in a world of increasing fear, from fears of Ebola, Zika virus, terrorist attacks, cyber threats, asteroid impacts that can wipe out the world. There's scientists that are studying that. There seems no shortage of reasons to be increasing people's anxieties. But I believe we need to keep going back to the scripture where Paul says, "I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice." Present your bodies as a thermostat that says, "I will not only to say it's 80 degrees in here, but I'll do something about it. Be not conformed to this world." I'm also reminded in 1 John 4:8, I believe it is, where it says, "There is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear." What might perfect love look like? What might perfect love look like to us here, April 2nd, Sunday morning, in this community? Well, I love to tell stories. And I love to tell stories of how perfect love, how people are thermostats through one way, and that might be through Mennonite Disaster Service. As executive director of Mennonite Disaster Service, or MDS, I have the joy of hearing how people are thermostats serving all over Canada and the U.S., responding to disasters. And as these volunteers go out and serve a week or more at a time, they are thermostats. They're changing the environment around them. They're giving themselves as living sacrifice. But how did this get started? How did this organization called Mennonite Disaster... Well, back in 1950, it was a Sunday afternoon, much like an afternoon this afternoon, where two congregations got together in Kansas and said, and actually it was young people. These young people said, "You know, we just got back from serving alternative service as conscientious objectors. We did 2 years of voluntary service in our communities throughout Canada and U.S. They completed their term, they came back and they said, what might, this service is really amazing. Serving our neighbor in need, helping them out in times of trouble. What could we, well, I look around us. There's tornadoes here in Kansas. The Arkansas River is flooding. What if we formed an organization that would respond and go up and clean out and rebuild people's homes? They asked each other how they might respond to disasters around them. Little did they know that 67 years later, 3,000 and 4,000 and 5,000 volunteers would be out rebuilding people's homes throughout the U.S. and Canada. That group of young people, that Sunday afternoon that met in the park in Heston, Kansas, that group of young people, they were thermostats. They exercised the element of control. They were not thermometers that simply said, oh, look how hot it is. Look at those tornadoes. Look at the Arkansas River. No, they said, let's use our God-given talents. And with God's help, let's change the world around us by a simple act of volunteering. So, allow me to tell some stories of how there's some thermostats. And your congregation as well has been very supportive of Mennonite Disaster Service. And we'll talk more about that, how you can still be involved in MDS in the Sunday school hour. I think of Peter and Susan. Peter and Susan, he's a retired contractor from Calgary, Alberta. Anybody been to Alberta? Canada? Peter and Susan live in Calgary, Alberta. And years ago, soon after they got married, they had done voluntary service in Kentucky in the Appalachian region with Mennonite Central Committee. And Peter and Susan heard 2 years ago that MDS was wanting to build private access bridges in West Virginia. In the last 2 summers, over 300 private access bridges have been washed out in West Virginia. Heavy rains come down those mountains, and of course, the West Virginia, that's hills and running streams, doesn't take much till there's lots of floods. And these dear people cannot get across the creek to their house. School children wake up in the morning and they can't cross because their bridge is washed out. Or grandmother can't get to the clinic or the hospital, or the father can't get to work. MDS has been called in to help build some of these private access bridges. Peter and Susan heard about this, and they stopped their contracting business. She's a social worker, and they both decided to give themselves to West Virginia. MDS is currently building these private access bridges, 30, 40 feet about from here to the back of the sanctuary. We're raising the funds, and teams come in, and within a week's time, we can build a bridge for a family. And oh, the joy of them being able to drive across the bridge for the first time, or their children to walk across and get to the school bus is amazing work. That's being a thermostat. I think of Manny Flawed. Manny Flawed, strange name you might think. Manny is an Amishman. Manny's about 45 years old, successful construction business in Lancaster. And I'm sure Kevin would recognize Manny. Manny has calluses on his fingers. He has a long flowing beard. Manny can't drive, but he has an English driver. By the way, did you know if half the world was Amish, what would the other half be? I gave it away. Manny realizes and looks at the young people, the Amish people in his community. There's 114 churches, districts in Lancaster and Lebanon County, so many Amish. And the young people, he's concerned about the young people losing their faith. Manny came to me one time and said, could the Amish work with Mennonite Disaster Service? But, Kevin, he says, we'd like to set up our own camp. That way the bishops would approve these young people coming to these camps without internet and without TV, without the other worldly concerns. And we said, yes. For a number of years now, we've set up numerous camps where the Amish come down by the bus loads on a Sunday night and serve until Friday night. We gave them a location in White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia, where they're building 40 homes. And now that's been scaled back to 30 because of the site development. But by June 23rd, coming up, in the one-year anniversary of the major flood in White Sulphur Springs, Manny Flawed and his group will have built 23 homes. This is a new thing for these young Amish people to get out of their community and to serve their neighbors in need. That, like Manny, is being a thermostat. Years ago, I think it was 10 years ago, I was one Sunday afternoon, I was flying to Kansas City, Missouri for a meeting. And as I looked out the plane that Sunday afternoon, I was like, wow, there's a storm somewhere. And we landed in Kansas City and my phone lit up. And there I heard about the tornado in Joplin, Missouri. Anybody hear about the tornadoes in Joplin many years ago? Actually, it was May. The high school graduation had just finished. And unfortunately, a tornado touched down and ran through the town of Joplin. It was about 3 miles wide and 12 miles long. It left a destructive path, killing 168 people. It destroyed the high school, the elementary school, churches, home depots, and many, many homes. A major, major tornado. MDS was on the ground from Missouri. The volunteers came from throughout. Mennonite Disaster Service, by the way, is organized by each state. So the unit from Missouri, by the way, did you know there are 23 different kinds of Mennonite groups in Missouri? From progressive to the Amish. There's even a group that comes out that they can't use power tools. They come with their cross-cut saws. That's being thermostats. Leland is the coordinator of Missouri Mennonite Disaster Service. Leland picked me up and he took me down to Joplin. And we drove around. We saw so much destruction. We saw teams cleaning up. Finally, I said to Leland, Leland, I just got to get out. I need to walk the streets myself. So I was walking down this street. It's Pennsylvania Avenue. Walking down the street and the homes are this high of rubble. And there I saw him. There was a gentleman standing out in the curb in front of his house. Frozen. Gently approached him. Got closer. Excuse me, sir. Excuse me. Are you the owner of this house?
Yeah.
Wow. Where were you when the storm hit?
Dogs blew out the window. Dogs jumped back in. Tried to make it to the basement. Curled up in front of the dishwasher in the kitchen.
Wow, you survived. And now and then he'd look up at my shirt, and I said, wow, you were smart talking. He, Mennonite, he looks at my shirt. I said, yeah. I said, have you heard about the Mennonites?
Yeah.
I said, I'm Kevin. Said, I'm Al. We shook hands. Huh, Mennonite. I said, do you know anything about them? Yeah, he said, the only thing I salvaged out of my house was a Mennonite community cookbook. I said, what's with the cookbook? Oh, he says, I'm a chef at the restaurant, and 2 months ago I lost my job. And you know, he said, Mr. King, he said, when you lose your job, you get an unemployment check.
Yeah.
He said, you have to decide what you're going to spend it on. So he said, light bill, the insurance. He said, the insurance in my house just ran out last month. I'm like, where are my thermostats? Where are people that's going to make a change? What's an effective response to a Mr. Al Hanna on Pennsylvania Avenue that lost everything and doesn't have insurance and lost his job? What do you say to him? Church, do you say, oh, what's your address? Okay, when I go back to Alden Mennonite, we'll pray for you. Or, you know, we hope it'll work out. Sorry for you. No. Just then, Leland. You know, Leland wears one of these black, he's the black bumper kind of these 23 different kinds of Mennonites. He arrives with his clipboard. He's already assessing. You know, the best 7 words you could say at that moment as a thermostat. We'll send a crew in tomorrow. That was so powerful to Mr. Al. In fact, he was one of the first homes we built in that community of Joplin of the many, many, many homes.
and the collaboration. It just wasn't Mennonite Disaster Service. We collaborated with Samaritan's Purse, World Vision, and many other agencies who contributed, and MDS provides the volunteer labor for rebuilding. That's being a thermostat. That's being a thermostat. Well, what about you this morning? Are you a thermostat or are you a thermometer? Do you have any connections? Are you connected to the power source? I don't want to get too cute about this, but I truly believe that when we go out on our own, we lose energy. We end up becoming saying, how terrible this, what's happening to this world ever since the elections, and you can go either way. What's going on? You can be a thermometer, or you can be a thermostat, and stay connected to the body of Christ, allowing you, God, to work through you. Are you merely talking about the issues around you, or are you a thermostat? August 2015, 8 inches of rain fell in Detroit, Michigan. Did anybody know that was the worst disaster in 2014 in the United States? Did anybody know that? Something else happened that day. It's just amazing fact, by the way, in these disasters, which depends what happens in the news. That day also happened to be the day that Robin Williams died or committed suicide, the actor, the comedian. Also, the following day was the shooting in Ferguson, Missouri. Again, news. No one knew that 127,000 homes flooded in Detroit. And Detroit itself is suffering immensely from an economic downturn in economy. The waters came through and the sewage backed up and filled 127,000 basements in Detroit. Basements not meaning just where you store things, but in Detroit, these houses were constructed that the basements are also living spaces. It's where the hot water heater is, the furnace, the electrical panel. To this day, there are still people living without heat in Detroit. FEMA went in and did what they could, but many, many people were overlooked. MDS was invited in, and we're camped out, where we're set up at a church. There's a Mennonite, African-American-related Mennonite church in Detroit. We've been there for the last 2 years, mucking out these basements, repainting, putting in furnaces and hot water heaters. It was an incredible, incredible experience for MDS, especially working in an urban setting where 4 in 10 people in Detroit live in poverty. It's the most impoverished big city in the U.S. Well, we were invited then, as I said, to do all this work, to be thermostats, literally to put in thermostats. Well, we were there, and I have to say, as white folk in a predominantly African-American community, they had a lot of concern about what are white folk doing here, and with your new shiny pickups, they thought we were connected with FEMA, or they thought we were connected with the Child Protection Services. So when you would go and knock on somebody's door, they wouldn't come to our door. Well, soon we encountered with this group called the East Side Mothers Club of this Osborne neighborhood. We decided to work with this Osborne neighborhood and just concentrate instead of running all over the huge city of Detroit. Michelle Jackson was an engineer of Detroit. She's retired now, an African-American, wonderful lady. She was the leader for our groups. And soon she put the flyers out, all out in her neighborhood of Osborne community. Her house, as I said, was flooded as well. And she knew what the experience was to go through the pain of a flooded basement. And so she trained her neighborhood to be the eyes and ears. And then our volunteers would go in and work in these homes. We did that for 2 years. This past January, we had a ceremony. We closed down as we're pulling out. Well, this summer we'll have youth groups there. But the testimonies then of these homeowners that came and celebrated with us of the closing. A homeowner, her name is Jocelyn Harris, she said, our homes were meant to be castles, Instead, they become prisons of disrepair. We know that when disaster happens, God will provide a ram in the bush. The Mennonites came and have been our ram in the bush. That's being thermostats, not thermometers. So what about you this morning? Remember, Jesus said, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was homeless and you gave me a room. I was shivering and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you stopped to visit me. I was in prison and you came to me. That, my friends, is being a thermostat. So, one conscious way of being a thermostat this week, simply I would ask that you pray a simple prayer this week and the weeks to come and say, Lord, make me a thermostat. Make me a thermostat. It might mean doing random acts of kindness. Put a quarter in somebody's parking. Do you have parking meters here in Alden? Maybe not. Someone standing in front of you at the grocery line. If the Spirit of God prompts you, say, I'll pick up her tab or his tab. Do a random act of kindness. Visit someone this week in a retirement community. Do something out of the extraordinary. Be a thermostat. And of course, we at MDS would covet your prayers and your gifts and your volunteering to be a thermostat as well. So I say, brothers and sisters, this morning, be a thermostat and let's turn up the heat. Let's turn up the heat. Amen and amen. Amen.